Well, hello everyone, and again I greet you in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Minor Hawk, your voice of the gospel speaker, coming to you again by means of radio with another Christ-honoring gospel program. Now I say that it's Christ-honoring simply because my only purpose in having this radio program is to present the claims of Jesus Christ as the Savior of sinners. I'm not here to preach a creed or a doctrine or a code of morality. I'm not here to preach a religious denomination or to exalt man in any way. I'm here to preach the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Yes, that's the gospel, the good news to lost and rebel creatures who are perishing in their sin. And friend, I might add that if you've never been saved or born again into the family of God, then whether you realize it or not, you're on the broad and crowded road going down to the place that Jesus Christ called hell. Remember what Jesus Christ said in John 3:3? He said that except the man is born again, he'll never see the kingdom of God. Now friend, if I were you out there in Radio Land today and knew that Jesus Christ had made such a statement, and if I also knew that I had never been born again, whatever that is, then I would want to know how I could be born again and thus be fit for the kingdom of God. Unfortunately, most people think they can reach the kingdom of God by living a so-called good, clean life, or trying to do the best they can, or by being baptized, or joining a church, or trying to keep the Ten Commandments. Listen, friend, there isn't one verse in any version of any Bible on the face of the earth that says you can reach heaven by so-called good works, rituals, or anything else apart from having faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, the message I have today is rather lengthy, so we're going to ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our God and our Father, we bow in thy presence again today to thank thee for thy Son, thine unspeakable gift. We thank thee, our God, for the love that brought him from heaven down to earth to die on the cross for our sins. We thank thee, our God, that he was a personification of a loving and gracious God. And we thank thee, our God, that this is still the day of grace. And we pray thy blessing upon thy word about to go forth. May the Holy Spirit of God use thy word to bring conviction and conversion to the hearts and souls of any who are listening in still outside of Christ. Honor afresh thy Son and thy word by saving souls, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now then, those of you who have your Bibles handy and who'd care to follow me in the Scriptures, I'll be using as my text for today a verse of Scripture as we find it in 2 Samuel chapter 14. This is the Old Testament book of Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 14, and we'll read together verse 14. For we must needs die, and there is water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Now friends, there are many verses of Scripture which bring before the sinner his spiritual ruin and God's remedy, but friend, I believe that our text for today stands out as the acme of perfection when it comes to preaching the gospel. And with the help of God, I should like today to analyze this verse of Scripture for you, and I trust that God will bless his word to the salvation of precious souls. Now, friends, in this portion of God's word we've read together today, we have brought before us four most important facts. And these facts must be realized by every individual before he or she can be saved. These facts take us back to the Garden of Eden. These facts take us back to Calvary's cross. And, friend, these facts make it possible to hear the gospel today and to accept God's Son, yes, God's salvation. And friend, the day of God's grace is quickly drawing to a close. If you're ever going to be saved, you'll have to be saved soon. Now let's just look at our text again and see what these four facts are. First, we must needs die. Secondly, we are as weak as water spilled upon the ground. Thirdly, God is no respecter of persons. And finally, God, through his Son Jesus Christ, has devised a means whereby rebel creatures such as you and I can be brought back to himself. Oh, what a perfect picture we have here of salvation. And friend, if you're not saved or born again, as you listen to the broadcast today, I trust that you'll stay tuned in during this message dealing with the ruin of man and the remedy for that ruin, which is nothing but the blood of God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, let's just discuss briefly the first important fact in our text. We must needs die. Friend, whether you realize it or not, you're only a heartbeat from death and eternity. That brittle thread of life can be snapped in the twinkling of an eye, and your sojourn here on earth would be complete. All your plans, your preparations, and dreams of retirement would come to an end. Friend, if you were to die right now, within the hour, your cold form would be on an undertaker's slab being prepared for display. Your relatives and friends would be notified immediately. And friend, grief would spread throughout your circle of friends. Someone would check to make sure your insurance was paid up. Someone else would have to go down to the undertaker's garage or basement to choose a casket. In the office or factory where you work, they hasten to collect money for flowers. The announcement is given to the newspapers. Then begins the steady stream of relatives, friends, and associations to view your lifeless body. And everyone seems to say the same thing. You look better dead than you did when you were alive. The friends you had, my friend, they come to see you because they feel it's the right thing to do. And as they go into the undertaker parlor, the flowers are banged beautifully around the coffin. Tears are flowing and hearts are heavy with grief. The pastor of your church, assuming you go to a church, drops in to provide a few minutes of comfort. And regardless of the fact that the deceased one had lived in sin all his life, the pastor assures the family that his soul is at rest, safe in the arms of Jesus. Then the fraternal and civic groups come in to perform their little rituals. The neighbors, who've given you trouble for years, all of a sudden have a change of heart, and they bring in food for the table and express their deep sorrow. And so it goes for 2 or 3 days, till the moment of departure arrives. The body is lowered into the ground, dust returning to dust. Sorrow has reached the climax and begins to subside with the normal duties of everyday living creeping in to erase the grief. Oh, friends, it's not a pretty picture, I'll admit. And yet this scene is multiplied by over 47 million every year. And the word of God is true. We must needs die. Yes, we must needs die. And friends, listen. This God-given fact is the result of a three-letter word, sin. S-I-N, sin. Had it not been for sin, there'd be no death. And were it not for death, there'd be no judgment. But the fact remains, sin equals death equals judgment. Now, friends, in Romans 6 and verse 23, we read the fact that the wages of sin is death. Again, in Romans 5 and verse 12, we read that, wherefore as by one man, meaning Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Listen, sinner friend, before Adam and Eve sinned, death was completely unknown. But once sin had raised its ugly head to mar God's fair creation, death began to take place. Leaves began to fade and fall from the trees. The beautiful bushes and flowers began to wither and die. Animals began to destroy one another, and so did mankind, because we read in Genesis 4 how that sin caused Cain to murder his brother Abel. Yes, my friends, sin is the cause of every grief, every tear, every pain, every sorrow, every act of violence and terrorism. Yes, and every death in the world today. Friend, that's the reason that God has clearly told us in our text for today that we must needs die. You know, I often think of the billions of dollars that are spent on aspirins and nerve tonic and MRIs and CAT scans and X-rays, chiropractors, doctors, miracle drugs, organ transplant, all the rest. Yes, it won't be long, my friend. No, it won't be long. Regardless of the fact that all this money and time and effort is spent on trying to keep us alive, the Bible makes it clear we must needs die. And regardless of the fact that you, like myself, may have reached your 70, God says, you're going to die. You're going to die. And that, regardless of the fact that even though you may be 80 or 90 or even 100 years old, the fact remains we must needs die. Now, friends, If death were the end of it all, I wouldn't be here today with the program of the gospel. But since death isn't the end of everything, but really only the beginning, well, friends, I'm here to say that if you die without Christ as your Savior, it will mean all eternity in the flames of hell. On the other hand, if you acknowledge before Almighty God that you're a lost, guilty, and hell-deserving sinner, and then repent of your sin and accept Jesus Christ, His Son, as your own and personal Savior, well, friend, you'll be saved. You'll be born again, and you'll be an inheritor of eternal life, never to die spiritually. But, friend, you'll live forever in the kingdom of God. Now, friends, the Holy Spirit of God is bringing before you your need of a Savior, I believe, today. And if He is, and again I say I believe He is, then I trust you'll look away. Look away by faith to Calvary's cross, and there see God's Son, Jesus Christ, dying in your guilty room and in your stead. Yes, we must needs die. But don't forget that Jesus Christ had to die too. He had to bear our sins in His own body on the tree. But thank God His death brings life. In John 3 and verse 16, Jesus Christ Himself said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Sinner friend, everlasting life can be yours beginning today if you'll only take your place as a lost rebel sinner in God's sight, then simply receive by faith alone Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's a personal application, my friend, but do it now. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 2 we read, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And then I think again of that warning which God gives back there in Proverbs 29 and verse 1. "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Well, friends, I don't like to speak about death, but the Bible has so much to say about death. And you and I realize, of course, that we're staring death in the face. Every tick of the clock, every breath we take, every step we take, yes, every beat of our heart is taking us closer and closer to that inevitable article called death. Now, friends, I do want to make one statement at this time, which I'm sure must bring joy to the hearts of countless thousands listening in. The only people who are not sure of passing through the article of death are those truly born-again Christians who are alive when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to take us back to heaven. Yes, thank God, we have that blessed hope to look forward to if we're really saved. In Titus 2 and verse 13, we read, "Looking forward to the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Yes, we're not looking forward to the undertaker. We're looking forward to the uppertaker, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I think of that scene over in John's Gospel, chapter 14, when the Lord Jesus Christ is telling His disciples that He's going to leave them. Beginning at verse 1, He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Yes, Christian friend, the road may be rough and lonely. The way may be filled with tears and sorrow, hardships and despair. Pain and suffering may be your daily burden, but thank God it won't be long now. Friend, look up. Be watching, working, and waiting. Your redemption draweth nigh. Jesus Christ will soon be here, and He'll take us home to be with Himself. Yes, to be with Him and like Him forevermore. But how about you, sinner friend? You have no blessed hope. You have no Lord and Savior. You have no eternal friend. You have no blessed assurance. Friend, you don't have spiritual life, and the alternative is spiritual death. And oh, sinner friend, my heart goes out to you today. When you're lonely, you have no friend. When you're discouraged, you have no comforter. When you're in pain and suffering, you have no bedside companion who is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. No, my friend. When you're about to pass out of time into eternity, you have no one to walk beside you as you cross the bar. The devil that has been your lifelong companion leaves you alone. He has deluded you. Yes, he has deluded you for years with broken promises. And now when you need assurance of life, you have only the stark reality that death has finally come and you're alone. You take one last look back at your life, and you realize, too late of course, that you've been a fool. You recall the time when the Holy Spirit of God was speaking to you. You recall that gospel message that stirred your soul and caused you sleepless nights. You recall the prayers of mother and dad on your behalf. Yes, you recall how God spoke to you in Sunday school, that verse of scripture, that gospel tract, that radio broadcast. Yes, sinner friend, you'll remember your life when you see your death. Ah, but how sad to say, it's too late. It's too late. Too late will be your cry. Jesus of Nazareth has passed you by. Now, friends, I'm bringing this message to you today because I believe that there's someone listening in who is very near death. Maybe you don't realize it, but you are. Some of you are in the waning years of your life. Others are slowly dying of a dread malignant disease. And still others are about to be cut down out of time by some accident or tragedy. Friend, listen. I myself may drop dead of a heart attack before the day is over. I myself may be involved in a fatal automobile accident. Yes, my friends, the text tells us, for we must needs die. But thank God if my heart were to stop right now, before anyone could reach my lifeless body, my soul would be in the presence of my Savior, the one whom, having not seen, I love. Now, friends, again, we want to look at something else in our portion today. And that is the fact that we must needs die, and there is water spilled upon the ground which cannot be gathered up again. Now, friend, what does God mean by this statement? He simply is bringing before us our weakness. And, friend, you'll never be saved or born again until you realize just how weak you are spiritually. And I'm speaking only spiritually. I'm talking about spiritual weakness. If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, God says you're as weak as water spilled upon the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Friend, listen. You'll never become a true child of God until you realize how weak you are in the sight of God. And furthermore, only those who realize that they are weak can possibly be made strong. Over in Romans 5 and verse 6, we read that when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Again in Psalm 6 and verse 2, David cries out, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me." Now the trouble with people today, I believe, is the fact that they refuse to believe that they are spiritually weak. They refuse to admit that they are spiritually dead in trespasses and in sin. Well, friend, again I say that you'll never be saved until you realize that you're lost. Jesus Christ himself declared over in Luke 5 verses 31 and 32, that they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now perhaps some of you are thinking, well, I'm more righteous than I am a sinner. I'm sure my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, and I'm sure that God is taking into account my good works and church membership. Well, friends, as I've said before, I'm not here to give you my ideas on the matter. I'm here simply to bring before you the Word of God. After all, He's the one we have to deal with, not Dr. So-and-so or Professor So-and-so. No, my friends, and it doesn't make any difference what Father So-and-so or Reverend So-and-so says either. It's what God says that counts. And that's the reason I continually bring before you the Word of God, chapter and verse, for everything I say. Now then, what does God say about our so-called good deeds, culture, education, church membership, and so on? Well, in Romans 3 and verse 10, God says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." In Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 20, God declares that there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. In Romans 3 and 23, God again declares that there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, perhaps some of you are thinking, all right, so I'm a sinner. I'll admit that. But I'm sure God is well pleased with my good works and religious activity. Well, friends, again, you must turn with me to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 if you want the answer. Listen. Listen, my friend, to what God tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works." Did you hear that? God says, "not of works, lest any man should boast." Then over in the book of Titus, chapter 3 and verse 5, we read, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy he saved us." Friend, listen. If good works could save your soul, then why did Jesus Christ die? And if church membership, baptism, confirmation, or dedication could save your soul from hell, then tell me, friend, why did Jesus Christ die? No, my friend, you and I can't save our own souls. Mankind has been trying to do it for over 6,000 years, but he has failed every time. Friend, the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. So you can't be saved till you realize that you're lost, that you're a sinner in God's sight, that you can't do a thing to merit salvation because it's all of grace from beginning to end. In Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, God looks down from heaven and here's what he says. For ye are all as an unclean thing, and all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Did you hear that, sinner friend? Filthy rags. That's what God says about all of our so-called good works and religious activity. And friend, you know what happens to filthy rags. They're cast into the fire. Now friends, with the help of God, I would like to discuss very briefly the next phrase in our text, 2 Samuel 14, verse 14. Let me read the verse again. For we must needs die, and there is water spilled upon the ground, which cannot be gathered up. Neither doth God respect any person. Friend, that last phrase is very, very important, because here we read that God considered us all alike. In Romans 2 and verse 11, we read that there is no respect of persons with God. Yes, as God looks down from heaven today, he sees the rich and the poor, the white and the colored, the old and the young, the English and the Russian. Friend, he tells us whether you're Catholic, Protestant, or Jew, that if you're still unsaved, you're all the same. All sinners, all lost, all come short of the glory of God, and all on the broad road to eternal punishment. But friend, listen, the word of God is very clear on this matter. You may recall over in Romans chapter 3 where God lists those 14 indictments against all mankind. And he gives his divine summation in these words, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So friend, it doesn't make any difference whether you're a downright out-and-out sinner or a church-going, Bible-reading hypocrite. In God's sight, you're both the same. You're both on the road to the place that Jesus Christ calls hell. Now, friend, to confirm what I've just said, I want to quote a couple of scriptures. First of all, in Isaiah 53 and 6, we read that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord God hath laid upon him, meaning Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. In Romans 11 and verse 32, we read that God hath concluded them all in unbelief. So friends, the word of God is quite clear. We're all born in sin and chastened in iniquity. Our nature is one of sinfulness simply because we've been inherited the sinful nature of our first parents, Adam and Eve. God makes this fact very clear in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, as I've already quoted, where he says, wherefore as by one man, meaning Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now friends, we're going to look very briefly at the last portion of that verse of Scripture. For we must needs die, and there is water spilled forth upon the ground that cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. Oh, thank God for the last part of that verse. Yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. Friend, listen. God is willing, ready, and able to save you today. And even though today you're without Christ, alien from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, we read in Ephesians 2 and verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you sometime were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Did you hear that, friend? We can be brought back to a heavenly Father, our Creator God, if we simply trust Jesus Christ and the value and the virtue of his blood that was shed at Calvary's cross. And friend, he's the only salvation. There's no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 4 and verse 12 we read, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. In John 10 and 9 the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the door. By me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. In John 14 and verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Friend, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He was the sinless one being made sin for you and I, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He was restoring that which He took not away. He was paving with precious blood the only way back to a loving Creator. Neither wonder He could say in John 14 and 6, I am the way. Not one of the ways, but the only way into the presence of God is through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. So friend, I plead with you today, in love for your soul, and as this broadcast comes to an end, I plead with you to acknowledge that you're the sinner for whom Christ has died. Repent of your sin, and look by faith to Calvary, there to behold the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, dying for you. Yes, He was the just one, dying for you and I, the unjust, so that He might bring us back into a new and proper relationship with His Father God. So I plead with you in love for your soul and in view of eternity to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, because, friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our God and our Heavenly Father, we bow in Thy presence again at the close of another radio broadcast. And our God, we thank Thee for the grace that has made it possible for us to speak well concerning the claims of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the only Savior of sinners. And our God, we believe that the Holy Spirit of God, even now, may be speaking to some out there in radio land who've never been saved or born again. Father, we pray that if they're under conviction, may Thy Holy Spirit, through Thy Word, not only convict them, but also convert them to faith in Jesus Christ. Father, we know that the blood of Jesus Christ, Thy Son, is still as powerful today as it was nearly 2,000 years ago when it was shed at Calvary. We claim Thy promise that the blood of Jesus Christ, Thy Son, cleanseth from all sin. Save souls, for we ask it in His name. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. If you have any questions relative to God's salvation, I'll be glad to answer them from the Word of God. Just address all correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel. That's the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. That address again, the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. And now until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.